This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So we're in the book of Acts, for those of you who've been around for the last few weeks and the coming few weeks. And Acts is a bit of a gift to us as a church, a bit of a blueprint of how to run a gathered group of believers, a bit like this. How to organise ourselves, how to deal with problems, how to overcome challenges. And today I'm just going to pick up on one thread, which runs all the way through the book. And that is a thread of handling money. So I can admit I've had some successes and some failures on this. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Have you ever not spotted the free delivery option and ended up paying for delivery on an online order? Yeah, not a big deal. Annoying. Or maybe you've forgotten to cancel a direct debit and it's gone out for an extra month before you realised that you were paying for something you didn't need. Or maybe you've lost some money, it fell out of a pocket. Maybe you've not had money in the right bank account and a bill has bounced. There could be all kinds of things that go on, from the small and mundane to the quite serious and significant. So I'm going to have a little look at Acts. So there are 28 chapters in Acts. And I've counted at least 26 references to money. There might be more. Some you might not agree that some of them are references to money. If you're really interested, I'll have some of the references up. And you can take a photo or ask me and I'll send you the slides and you can look them up. And if you find more, just let me know. I think that they fall broadly into two categories. So one is generosity and the other is integrity, both in terms of what integrity looks like and what the lack of integrity leads to. So I'm going to start with generosity. And can I just say that the contact centre is such an example of the generosity of the church, of time, of energy, of just committing to something. So we're going to celebrate that today. But first, I'm going to look at the model for generosity we see in Acts. And then I'll share a bit with you about how I think that is outworked in this community here. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Acts. I'll be jumping around a bit, so these first ones will be up on the screen. So Acts 3, verse 6. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Maybe you don't have gold or silver, but you have time and you can pray for somebody because you have faith. Acts 4, 34. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, on this one, I think it's important just to say that this is extra wealth. So these people, they wouldn't have sold the house they lived in. This would have been extra land, extra property they had. So this is giving from a place of abundance. Something I think might be comparable to us is if you have a second car, selling that, finding a way to do without. Maybe you've got a second home. Maybe you could sell that. Or maybe it's giving from savings. This is not taking away from someone's ability to have a roof over their house and to feed their families. Acts 11, 29-30 says this. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So this is the church in Antioch. They were motivated to give generously in response to a prophecy about a famine that was coming. And what I love about this particular example is that they decided according to their own ability. It wasn't a structured religious thing. It was everyone choosing their own response. And finally, Acts 28:30. See, we've done Acts 3 to 28. We're doing well. Paul stayed in a rented house for 2 years and welcomed all who came to see him. Now, I don't know how many times I've read this verse and not thought about it at all. But when we stop and study it, there's a richness that can come out that we don't see otherwise. So in case, like me, you've missed some of the detail of this verse, Paul had been arrested. At the point of arrest, it's thought that all his assets would have been seized from him. And now he's under house arrest in a rented house for 2 years. Who was paying for this house? I've read about a bit, trying to figure out who that might have been. And the only conclusion I seem to find amongst what the scholars have written is that somebody, maybe a wealthy believer, maybe a group of wealthy believers, paid for it. Or maybe he was a tent maker by trade. Maybe some people were helping him keep up his tent maker trade by generously giving of their time and energy to get him the resources he needed and take his things to be sold. I don't know. We don't know. Maybe you can talk about it in small group this week. Or if you have the answer, come let me know. But he was really on the receiving end of someone else's generosity. But we're not told who, and it's easy to miss it, I think, in the Bible. Now, today we're celebrating all that God is doing in this community of faith. And I want to really acknowledge that while the last few years have been really difficult financially and remain difficult financially, that God's provision for us as individuals and as the knock-on from that as a church family are phenomenal. Leeds Vineyard is made up of highly generous people. So thank you. In spite of all the cost of living pressures, our income as a church, which is made up of regular giving, has held steady in the last few years. So our total income last year was £255.422, which is phenomenal. Just have a think about that number. That's a big number. So I was hoping to have some pies with me. I have failed on the pie front. However, instead I have cake, just to keep you focused. So I need to refer to my figures or I'll get this all wrong. So the largest part of our giving is regular giving. This is just under 3/4 of a cake. This could go wrong, couldn't it? So that is our regular giving. This is really, really helpful. Regular giving is like my favourite thing because we know what's coming, we can plan, we can predict, we can set budgets, we can make wise decisions. Now, many of you are taxpayers, and if you're taxpayers and you claim gift aid, that adds on, let me do my maths, another slice of cake pie. Is that a thing? We should make that a thing. So this is, when we know this bit's coming in, we can calculate the gift aid. So most of what we know is coming in is there. It's very exciting. Then we have, on top of that, some irregular giving. Now, the irregular giving is all sorts of things. We sometimes do a day of generosity. Sometimes people get an inheritance. Sometimes people get a bonus at work, or they sell a house, or they do something. It's a one-off. I don't normally know the reasons why they do that, why the money comes in, or the story behind it. Sometimes I do. But anyway, that makes up, in this case, a wedge quite similar to the gift aid. Now, it's important to mention that also fluctuates massively. It's very confusing. Sometimes it can be, some years it's about £4,000. One year it was £62,000. How on earth you plan for that is a challenge. So we have to take that as a, something will probably come in, something might not come in. Let's not hold to it too strongly, but let's kind of hope and pray for and expect something. It's like a discerning game, shall we say. And then the other income, I'm not even going to try and move this. It's going to end in crumbs everywhere. That piece is other. Other kind of catches all the things that aren't the other categories, really. It could be refunds from the council on non-domestic rates or just bits and pieces that come in. But it's small, and so we don't worry about that piece too much. But it's there, and I want you to know it's there. So when we know what's coming in, this regular bit and the gift aid, life is much simpler. So thank you to all of you who are able to do that, who contribute to that. There's many people in this room and probably watching online as well who contribute to that bit of the cake pie. Pie cake. Which way around am I going? I don't know. Cake pie. Okay, The consensus in the room is cake pie. If you're watching online and have a different opinion, please put it in the chat and we'll see where we get to by the end of this morning. So I'd like to invite Mary up now, who has an exciting story to tell about generosity. Let me just say this. Generosity is a distinctive of the kingdom of God. And when it is present like this, it reveals more of God's power and allows us to give glory to God.
So I felt challenged recently to trust God in inviting people round and giving, for example, like giving to food pantry, even on what is a fairly tight budget in my house. And I was going to trust that God is going to provide all that we need so that we have everything we need as a family. And I was also challenged to give a larger amount during the Steps campaign than I'd originally been planning. And during this time, it feels like God's really blessed what I've given, because I've then won an M&S voucher from a feedback survey, which pretty much never happens. I was given a supermarket voucher from a family friend. My salary increased, and I got some money from my dad who just picked it up off the grass. There was no one there, just random money on the grass. And the money alone from the vouchers was 2/3 of what I gave to Steps. So it's like God has just, as I chose to give, God released the kingdom things and gave me the funds that enabled me to do that, which was really cool.
So we say... So we just want to say thank you, God, for this provision. And thank you, Mary, for your obedience. And let's continue in this model we've read about in Acts and commit to being a generous community made up of generous individuals just like this. Mary's going to read our next Bible passage in a moment, so just stay there, please. And we're going to turn to integrity, which is the other thing that I said that I see running through Acts. And this is going to occupy the rest of our time together this morning. Now, Acts contains a few encouragements about how to do this well, and also plenty of warnings about what happens if you don't. The warnings are really stark, and I think it's really important to know and to give a bit of context to the fact that this Christian community in Acts was in its early stages, it was early days of the church, and it was functioning a bit like a moving, living embodiment of the temple. It was like the church going out there and moving around in the world. It was the place that would have, the temple was known as the Holy of Holies. So this early Christian church was a place of holiness that was in such contrast to the world around it that anything that wasn't of God just couldn't be tolerated, kind of almost had to be got rid of straight away, no hesitations. And so in that context, we're going to read this next bit. Mary.
So this is from Acts 5, verses 1 to 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all those who heard what had happened.
Thank you, Mary. The passage goes on to show Sapphira's side as well. It didn't end well for her either. You might want to read the story a bit for yourself. So what happened here is, though, they sold some property, but they deliberately kept some money back for themselves, the consequence being that they both fell down and died when challenged on it. Now, this couple were part of the early church. They were full of the Holy Spirit, and yet they were tempted to this point. So let's not pretend that we're not immune to this. Temptation is real. Peter says that Satan filled their hearts and they lied to the Holy Spirit. There was no obligation on them to give. There wasn't any obligation on them to sell their property. There was certainly no requirement to give it all away. But what happened here was they chose to pretend. They chose to pretend that they had received a certain amount of money and that they'd given it all, when in reality they'd received some money and they'd given back part of it to God. What is contentious here is not the giving, but the lying about the giving, their deceit, their lack of integrity in this moment. Now, integrity is all about honesty, accountability, and if you've been on Discovering Vineyard and you've read our value statement, is one of our values here as a church, integrity. Part of how we exhibit that is we want our finances in particular to be above board. We want to do everything by the book. We want to exemplify the gold standard in doing this well. And so that's part of my paid role, but part of my job here today is just to be able to demonstrate that value in action with some more cake. It's coming soon, don't worry. We're going to talk about the expenditure side in a bit, and I'm not going to have time to field any questions, but questions are welcome. If you do have questions, you can email me at the office, office@leedsvineyard.org, and I will get back to you as soon as I can, or if I'm not the right person to answer your questions, I will find someone else who can. Now, some of you love that we do this. Some of you are really quite happy that we don't bother, but don't worry, there's cake, yeah? I'm keeping your interest. Sorry if you're watching online. I can only hope that all this talk of cake means that you might have some to hand, if that's your thing. So integrity. Integrity is a distinctive of the kingdom of God. And when present, it reveals more of God's power, giving glory to God. So the figures that I'm sharing this morning are all for the year that ended on the 30th of April. That's just a couple of weeks ago. Our full accounts will be available online later in the year. We have to publish them. And just in case you're not sure, this is our legal structure. Some of you find this interesting. Some of you might know about this, some of you not so much. But basically, our charity name is the Wharfdale Vineyard Christian Fellowship. We're a registered charity and a company limited by guarantee. And I happen to be the company secretary of that charity. And under that, we have a few projects. So today we're talking about Leeds Vineyard. We've also, in the past, we've had Sheffield Vineyard, where the flowers are today. They became a separate entity this time last year. We've got Harrogate Vineyard, who are just becoming independent. We're just tying over the last few bits with them. And then we've got Leeds Vineyard, and under that, we've got some bigger projects. We've got the contact centre, which we heard about this morning. We've got the pantry, which we've also heard about, and we've got Vineyard House. And for the purposes of these figures, the lantern is included as part of Leeds Vineyard because that's a joint project with Cornerstone, and exactly how we show that is more complicated than we need to go into in right this moment. So we've seen the income and the expenditure. So I'm very, very excited to report that in the last financial year, we managed to stay both within our budget and within our income. Excellent. A bit of a cheer. That is not a small feat. And big thanks to all the people who've helped make that happen. There have been some changes through the year in terms of how we have shown costs, allocated costs. So the comparison to last year is a little bit complicated to do with Vineyard House. We're trying to show more of our Vineyard House costs relating to the building, but then some of it is what we spend as a church. We use lots of rooms, we meet there a lot, we have our offices there, so having some of those costs within our Leeds Vineyard pot is helpful. So I've got another cake. Let's move on to the next cake. This one's chocolate. For those of you like me who like chocolate, I've only got one cake slice though. There's going to be some cross cake pie contamination. So back to the expenditure. So the biggest slice this time is staff costs, which is just over half. Now, David spoke to us a bit last week, just over, like a smidgen over half. That annoying, it's not quite straight. For anyone who likes things to be straight and neat and tidy, you're not going to like this very much. Apologies for any offence caused. This is a less cooperative cake than the previous one. There we go. So staff costs over there, that's a big one. And David talked, I think a fortnight ago, about some of the pastoral staff changes and how the staff are really there to try and release volunteers into to doing things. So if we look at the staff costs, we have we employ the equivalent of 6.4 full-time members of staff. There we go. That's 256 hours a week. But we think that our staff release over 400 hours a week in terms of volunteer time. Now, between you and me and the internet, I'd like that number to be higher. Not because I'm lazy, but because if the staff do it all, then it means there are a lot of people in the church, or a big church, who aren't necessarily getting to exercise their own gifting and respond in their own ways. So I'm just keen for that to go up for that reason. Let's not let the staff have all the fun, basically. We do have quite a lot of fun. It's fun doing this. Hard work, but fun. Now, some of our staff, there's one slightly faint little icon, which just is meant to demonstrate that some of our staff time goes to Vineyard Churches as a movement and doesn't stay within Leeds Vineyard. So I'm just trying to show that a little bit in that, which if you take that out, means we double what the staff put in, is doubled in a volunteer output. I reckon, should we aim for triple next week? That isn't meant to make you guys tired, by the way, but it's just something to aspire to. Let me move on to the next, wedge of pie. So 20%. This is all the like behind the scenes stuff that isn't very exciting, but is very important. So insurance, we have insurance, phones, websites, all the things that kind of need to happen, gas and electricity costs, DBS checks, stamps, printing. This particular wedge of cake pie has been hit really, really hard by the cost of living increases. I don't know, you'll have noticed at home, everything costs more. Everything across the board. I think pretty much every contract we have, they've tried to increase it. We've managed to hold even on some of them where we had fixed rates agreed, which we're celebrating. But others just creep up. So even if we modify our usage, they still creep up a little bit. The fact that this is only 20%, again, I'm celebrating. That could be much, much bigger. Right, the next wedge. I'm pretty sure my percentages have gone really quite awry on this. I should have got someone more competent to do this. 10%. Let's call that 10%. If anyone has a protractor and wants to challenge me on my percentages, feel free. I'll just eat them. Sundays, being here. This is a big building. There's lots that goes on. There's lots of resource that goes in here. There's PA equipment, which no matter how carefully you look after it, kind of wears thin on the edges sometimes. Sundays, but this is such a core, important part of who we are and what we do. We track our Sunday attendance just to check that people are coming and we're not making it up. And these pretty lines. So we've got a Sunday gathering at the top. It dips up and down. That's pretty normal. It always does that. People go on holiday. There's bright sunshine and everyone decides to do an impromptu trip to the beach or something. They go up and down. We get peaks around key events, Christmas, Easter. Sometimes Mothering Sunday. There's some key bits that stand out. Sometimes if we have a guest speaker and everyone kind of rushes in to see them. And Vineyard Kids again, which NT for 12, they're all together, which is joined together. And then weekly worship online, which is steady. For those of you watching on the live stream, we know and we see that you watch every week, and that's the way you can engage with us, and we acknowledge that in our attendance figures. What we have noticed is similar to other churches, there's a change to our numbers from pre-pandemic. Since the pandemic, people tend to come less frequently. If you came every week, maybe you now come two or three times every week. Yeah, maybe you now come two or three times a month, and so on. There's a bit of a drift there. So that seems to be a national trend. But our attendance is healthy. Again, maybe me, I'd love to see that going up. Maybe that's how we'll get the third increase. Maybe that's how we'll triple the staff time released. Just have a think about it. Things like the cafe this morning, and thank you to those of you who made that happen. That just gives us visibility so people can see they're actually quite friendly and not too odd. And they might want to come in. Maybe they'll come just for a drink, and then maybe they'll dare come in the building. Or maybe you're watching online and you had a coffee this morning. Honestly, we're quite a friendly bunch. We'd love to have you join us one day. So while I talk about the remaining piece of pie, William, will you join me? So this is really going to be quite interesting to chop up. So we've got 5% that goes to Vineyard churches. That's what all Vineyard churches do. That contributes to national events, to our national leaders and other things like that. We've got another 5% that goes to Reach Out. That includes our contribution to the Lantern and supporting those in our church family who are overseas and to other bits, including giving from our Generosity Sunday that was in that irregular bit of Victoria sponge cake pie over there. And these bits, now this is where it's going to go really wrong. So training and equipping families and students and young adults, and discipleship in small groups. Now, don't kid yourself that we neglect these. These all have big wedges in this staff pie. So if I were to add them up, which I'm not going to do because it will get even more crumbly than I'm already making it, they are significant wedges. We just show staff costs like that for transparency. Excellent. William, you bring us back to Acts.
In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
So the Hellenistic Jews, that's those who were Greek-speaking as opposed to Aramaic-speaking in the church, felt that their widows were not being cared for properly. Now this could have been down to language barriers or just the challenges of caring for an increasing group of people. And therefore, a group of 7 men from that Greek-speaking community were appointed to handle it, leaving the apostles free to concentrate on teaching and preaching what they were there for. So Acts 6 extols us to select those who are known to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom for the roles of oversight and ensuring that we do things well. The task of good governance, ensuring that we stick to our vision and mission, is not a lesser administrative task, and we have a board of trustees who exercise this function. And whilst they delegate some of the doing of it to the staff team, which is why we need a good chunk of those staff hours, the trustees are there to act as the checks and balances, to check that the right things are in place, policies, procedures, to check that the staff know what they're doing, to check that the staff know the volunteers are what they're doing, know what they're doing, to make sure that this is a safe place where we do things well, where we strive to do things well. So these guys are all people where we've recognised that they have spiritual maturity, that they are for the church, that they love the church, and who bring their skill sets, often learned in business, in their work roles, into the management and ensuring the due diligence of the church community so that we see the extension of the kingdom of God in our midst. Some of our trustees have served for a really long time, and we honour them in their service. Others come and go, sometimes depending on their own personal circumstances or just the skills that we need at a particular time. But all of them love the church. We see them exhibiting integrity, and we know that they want to see this community thrive and grow. So to summarise this morning, both integrity and generosity are distinctives of the kingdom of God. And when present, they reveal more of God's power, allowing us to give glory to God. So can I invite you to stand if you're able to, and let's respond together.